Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Hey, would you stay with me?
Good evening and welcome to the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. And as the sun sets on the West Coast, all over North America, on the western side, we broadcast live. And speaking of talking about movies, and we just did that, so Nice Guys and Angry Birds, I don't think Tim liked too much either one, but surprisingly enough, he liked Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron.
Yeah, that kind of shocked me that he went for that one, because, I mean, I envision it as being exactly the same as the first.
Well, it's a stoner movie. And last night on The Tonight Show with Fallon, Efron was on there, and they were doing this water-throwing thing on each other. You know, they were actually who had the higher card than that person got to throw water. So they were both drenched. It turned out to be a Zac Efron wet T-shirt contest, basically.
Oh, of course.
Well, who doesn't
love
that?
That's what they were going for.
Right, exactly. And then Seth Rogen was on, and he did stand-up with jokes written by kids. This was fun.
I got a question. What did one lawyer say to the other lawyer?
What?
Answer, we're both lawyers. Here's something I noticed the other day. How many ears does Captain Kirk have?
How many?
His left ear, his right ear, and his final front ear. Let's see what else is going on. They wrote segues, too. That was very nice of them. The Invisible Man went to the doctor. The nurse told the doctor the Invisible Man is here. The doctor said, tell him I can't see him right now. I'll leave you guys with this one. What did Dr. Frankenstein say about his dog's drool? It's saliva.
Oh, well. I don't know if he was stoned at the time or not, but, you know, Seth is constantly stoned.
Pineapple Express.
Right. Yes.
One of the best movies.
He's Canadian, isn't he? I think he is, isn't
it? Seth? I don't think
he
is.
I thought he was.
No, I think he's an American.
He's American, everybody. Okay, I wanted to play this for you. This is a lot of fun. So we're talking about movies a little bit here. Someone uncovered an old clip of David Letterman's audition for Airplane. Do you know that the original Airplane from 1979, Letterman wanted that part of Ted Stryker?
Oh,
which,
really?
Which you know, ended up going to Robert Hayes. And this is David Letterman's audition from 1979.
Ted, you got a telegram this morning from headquarters.
Headquarters? What is it?
It's a big building where the officers meet. But that's not important right now. You're taking all the blame for what happened on that raid was a pretty courageous thing to do.
Was it? Because of my mistake, 6 men didn't come back from that raid.
7. Lieutenant Zip died this morning. Dr. Chandler says you'll be out in a week. Isn't that wonderful?
I wish I could say the same thing for George Zip.
You know, maybe if I'd have gotten the part, that movie would have made some money.
He actually played it back during his show, during an interview about that. I don't know. I guess, well, I do know. Zucker was on, Jerry and David Zucker, along with Jim Abrams, on his show in 1982.
I got to tell you, yeah. Seth Rogen is Canadian. He was born in Vancouver.
And I was right.
Yeah.
Look at that. And good evening to our friends in Vancouver, one of my favorite cities in the whole wide world. Besides San Francisco, we're numero uno, taking on the Cubs tonight, which will be very interesting.
Who are you cheering for?
I know. Well,
Mr. Chicago.
I know. Well, I'm not Mr. Chicago. Well, I was Mr. Chicago for 14 years. I have to say, look, the Cubs, since they haven't won anything since 1908, they've never gotten a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're off to their best start ever.
I mean, even I have to admit it would be nice to see them win eventually at
right.
some point.
Yeah, you got to think at some point they deserve it. Hello, Chicago. All right. Let's talk about the sexual pass. So this is an interesting story. The license to cheat. Women giving their husbands a sex pass. Now, before you flip out about this, you know, we're going through this shift. There's a dynamic shift with the economic structure into the romantic one. And the whole dynamic is changing in relationships. And the psychologist who did this report, she explains that this shift means we have to look at our partners with so many things. Soulmate, wonderful parent, confidant, sexual partner, family protector, provider, intellectual equal, and the list goes on and on. And now, you know, you've got this pressure on the marital construct, and it's bound to break at some point. And you anticipate infidelity might happen. Well, if that's the case, so she is saying, why not create your own rules so the pressure is off one person to provide everything? Now, as we all know, there are several ways of creating these thresholds. There's polyamory, the act of having more than one loving relationship at a time. Okay. Open marriages, where both couples have other partners. There are couples who meet each other's partners. They're metamors. And there are couples who are happy for one another or both to have lovers, but chose never to hear any of the details. In other words, you know, I just don't want to hear about it. Don't bring anything home to me.
Yeah.
Disease-wise.
Do your thing. Don't tell me anything.
Right. On the DL, and I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it from anybody else. I don't want to hear about it from our friends or family. But, yeah. And I wonder, you're a married guy, how you feel about that. 808-0810, the license to cheat. Women are giving, especially as they go through menopause, and this whole story goes further into that. Where this woman explains, the psychologist, when obviously we're talking about different levels of libido. And when if she's being honest with herself and she's being honest with her husband of 30 or 40 years, whatever the case may be, she's not interested in sex at all. But she's saying that's not fair to him. So I'm willing to give him a sex pass. Now, that doesn't mean go out and have an affair on me. It's a sex pass.
What's the difference?
Good question. 808-0810, 415 if you're outside of the Bay, 415-808-0810. What's the difference? In my mind, the difference is go have a sexual hookup. I mean, you could use Tinder for that.
But don't make the emotional connection with that person.
Right. Yeah, don't carry it on.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to know about it. But get it out of your system because, you know, maybe at the end of this menopause thing that I'm going through, I'll be down again. But for the time being, I'm not. And this, it doesn't have to just be, in her case, she's talking about menopause specifically for women and the flux of the libido throughout a long-term relationship. And, you know, this is not always a one-gendered size or side issue. Men do this, and they have their periods just like women do. So I don't know what you think about this sort of thing, but it's in play, and it's monogamy had nothing to do with love. Men relied on women's fidelity in order to know whose children are ours and who gets the cows when I die. That's what she says. And she goes on to say, the shift means we now look at our partners as so many other things, as I just mentioned, the soulmate, the wonderful parent, the confidant, the sexual partner, family, on and on. And this is, I know it's not talked about, but I think it's topical and it's timely because we are in a world now with the social media, especially with the likes of Tinder, where even if she wants to be in on it and say you have a sex pass, she could sit there and swipe to the right or to the left with him. I don't know that she would want to. I don't think this psychologist in particular is interested in doing that. But if we're being honest, if in order to just have a sex pass nowadays, It's totally, you can totally do it. I don't, see, here's the difference in the dynamic from 2016 to even, let's go back to, say, 10 years ago, 2006. There was no Tinder, so there would still be an affair. Maybe it would be email or something like that, or Craigslist or something like that. But that was all, that was really kind of, that was a very gray area. With apps like Tinder or OkCupid, it can be a hookup, okay? So what do you think about a sex pass? 808-0810. We've got some calls, and we'll get to them in just a second. If you're on hold, stay there. Again, if you're outside the Bay, it's 415-808-0810. We'll discuss, and with a look at traffic first, here is Lee Graham in the KGO Traffic. Well, if you're not bringing the sexy back, maybe you should allow them a sex pass. I have a story about Elton John and his Canadian husband, David Furnish, and this tabloid sex tale coming up. But first, I want to wrap this topic. So this is about women giving their husbands a sex pass. And this, in this particular instance, it's because this woman is going through menopause, and she loves her husband very, very much. But he's a sexual creature like we all are. And she was, but right now she isn't. She doesn't want to deny him. She doesn't want him to have an affair. So she's giving him a sex pass. Not to have an affair, not to fall in love, not to bring home any STDs, not to bring her home any of this.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
None of that. No shame, please. But you get a sex pass. Go get it out of your system. And I don't want to know about it. How do you feel about that? 415-808-0810, 808-0810 here in the Bay. All right, let me see if I can get my mouse to work. Bad things happen when the batteries die. Let's go to Robin in Santa Rosa. Robin, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You bet. So what do you think? A sex pass.
Well, I think it's a very nice thing for her to do, but in my mind, being married 18 years, is it a trap? If I take the bait, now is she going to bring it back to me? I think I would consider it if there were absolutely no repercussions. I know that for myself. I love my wife very much, and I wouldn't involve any real emotions besides the act of just relieving oneself, I would say.
Right. No, that's really well put it. You know, and Robin, what I like what you said is, will there be repercussions? And that's that jealous little thing that, you know, it's easy to put that over on the women and say, oh, well, that's how women are. But guys are the same way. And I think sometimes when it comes to their ladies, it's even a crazier thing knowing that their woman has been with another man. I just wonder, with this particular woman, in her marriage, how he would feel if she went out and had sex and had a sex pass. Because I know men, and I am one, that crazy jealousy thing can get,
oh, yeah,
get
we're,
weird.
We're, you know, we're alphas. We're the providers. We're the per se. I'm not saying that, you know, it doesn't go both ways, but as males, I think we want to be top dogs most of the time.
Okay, well, let me run
and
this
we'd
by
like
you.
To think that.
Okay, let me run this by you. So 42% of marriages now end in divorce. Almost 60% of the men and 45% of the women do cheat at some point. So the numbers are in. Traditional monogamy isn't working for a lot of people. But that doesn't mean they want their relationship to end.
Yes. Is it out of convenience sometimes, you know, depending on where you live? Or, you know, true love's kind of a, you know, how do you say, I'm at a loss for words here, but it's kind of nostalgic, I would say, sometimes. And, you know, I still believe in true love. I guess maybe I'm a rare male in some instances.
No, I don't think so. I think thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Great call. 808-0810 is the number if you want to weigh in here. I just think that the way this is framed, I kind of like what they're saying. So the numbers are in. traditional monogamy doesn't work for a lot of people, but that doesn't mean it's the end of their relationships. I can attest to this just personally, where one drifts apart and then something happens, but we always come back to each other, okay? And that has always worked for us. Now, I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm at the point where my life where I'm not interested in anyone else, and I'm not interested in any of this. But I could see where there is this dynamic in a relationship where one partner is just not into the sex thing. And by the way, I have friends, and I'm going to be very honest about this. I have male friends who are just not down with it either. Everybody thinks that men are always horny and are always sexual beings. That's not the case. That's not the case. I don't know whether it's low libido or whatever it is with one of my buddies. He's very happily married. And it's not a necessary thing.
Well, I think what the important thing here is these people are having a conversation about it, and one partner isn't sneaking around behind the back of their other partner. So I think that's a positive thing. I don't know if that would be right for me necessarily and my wife. I don't think we'd ever would agree to a situation like that. But, like, it says something about the relationship that you can at least entertain the idea.
Well, aren't these numbers kind of scary? 60% of men and 45% of the women cheat at some point in their marriage or long-term relationship. And by the way, this works across all lines.
Yeah.
Gay or straight. I don't know if they're higher amongst the gay community, but perhaps it could be like the David Furnish, Elton John story, which we'll get to coming up here. They have an open relationship.
That actually kind of surprises me that so many people do, because people are getting married a little bit later now. So you think at that point they kind of know what they want and they know what they're going after. But, that's not the case necessarily.
And then there are people who are not getting married, just like people who aren't buying homes or people who aren't buying cars. It's a different world.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the millennials see things very differently. But I thought this was very interesting, this entire topic, because we're talking about someone who's probably 50 or so, and she's going through menopause, and she feels for her husband. She loves her husband very much, so she's saying, you know what, you get the sex pass.
Yeah. I mean, I've even heard it like, you know, some people who get cancer and they can't perform for their husband or their wife like the way they used to, and they, you know, they give them that option. And for that person, it, you know, it's very meaningful, and they need that.
All right. So what do you think? And then there, as I mentioned, there are all kinds of there's polyamory. There's the act of having more than one loving relationship at a time. I just don't see that. The open marriages where both couples have other partners. That's to each his own, right? Whatever works. And then there are the other ones where you can go do your thing. You could get the sex pass, but I don't want to hear about it. All right. When I come back, we will talk about, this is just a crazy story with Elton John talking about partners. Oh, my God. And then here's the strangest thing about the story that I'm going to tell you after we check in with the traffic, is that this story that I'm going to tell you is not allowed to be broadcast or printed in the UK.
Uh-oh.
This is insane.
They can get the KGO app in the UK.
Yes. Yes, you can. You can download the KGO app for free, which is a lot of fun. That way you can play it in your car and hear it in stereo and all.
And then we'll be banned from the UK.
Right. Oh, my goodness. It is so ridiculous when you hear this, because with social media, they have the internet in the UK. So it's just really ridiculous. All right. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. You are listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. With a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
KGO 810
Let's get the kiddie pool out and fill it with olive oil. And let's jump in, Brian.
What?
We need one more guy. Okay. This is the story. Pop Goes the Nation. Yes, over in Britain. Now, this story, if you listen to my show, and again, thank you. I told this tale probably a month ago, but it just resurfaced again today because it went to Parliament again, and the people in Parliament in England went hysterical. I mean, they went into meltdown just like Congress went into meltdown yesterday about the bathroom law.
Again, something that actually matters rather than just like some celebrity's personal life.
Shame.
Thank you.
Shame.
Shame on you. All right. So do Elton John and Canadian husband David Furnish have an open relationship, or has Ben Furnish been cheating on the music icon? All right. So we go back to the April 18th edition, and I guess that's probably when I told the tale, that the National Enquirer said and declared on the newsstands Elton John betrayed by cheating husband. But only three paragraphs into the three-page article, the tabloid reports that the lawyers for Elton John and Furnish did not have an affair because the singer knew about the relationship. All right, so the story goes, allegedly, that they have an open relationship. And we were just talking about this in the last segment, and that's fine. They're big boys. They can decide what they want to do. And so they ran this racy story. And so, of course, the UK wanted to be all over this.
Oh, their tabloids are like animals.
Right. So they turns out, because there are children involved, they have stricter privacy laws. Now, the court ordered there was actually a court ordered injunction. And it obviously does not apply outside of England or Wales. But reps for Elton and Furnish are going to great lengths to threaten media outlets. And I think this one is popgoesthenews.com. But, you know, they can't, obviously, they cannot censor anything here in the United States. So according to this guy, Lawrence, the Enquirer and Star reported that UK businessman Daniel Lawrence claims he had had three encounters with David Furnish, including one that involved risky sex. Now, this all seems silly to me because we're an American, who cares, right? But it's just, it's one of these silly things. Because Parliament and the government in England and the UK say that you can't, it just makes it bigger.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
It's like the forbidden fruit. They're not allowed to talk about it or they get sued.
But they can. It's not like if you're living there, you can't find it on the Enquirer website or something like that. I mean, with the internet, everything is available.
Yeah. So, again, I'm trying to look here at the Daily Mail. They're making fun of it. They're putting out all these crazy headlines about this whole affair without saying it.
So for instance, like dancing around it.
Right. One of the tabloids had a kiddie pool set up, and it had it filled with olive oil, and said, "Oh, the things we can't discuss about this pool filled with olive oil." All right. So according to Lawrence, on at least two occasions, Furnish demanded and had unprotected sex with him. All right. Elton John's lawyer denied Furnish had unprotected sex with Lawrence. The Enquirer reports the unprotected sex allegation is particularly damaged because Furnish helps to run his husband's AIDS foundation. That would be Elton. Lawrence also alleges that Furnish joined he and husband Peter Vandenberg for a threesome. All right. And according to the Enquirer, Furnish and Lawrence began exchanging messages online in 2008, hooked up in 2009 at the Mayfair, which is was a swanky hotel in London. There are things I can't say. There was sex. I think that's all I need to say. and they didn't. Well, you know, when we get to the penetration, I'm going to cut things off, too. But they had unprotected sex, and they continued to communicate online. And they saw each other again at an event in Palm Springs, allegedly. But they did not have sex again until April 2010. So what is this story about? It's all about trying to shut down the freedom of press in England and not allowing. You would think that it's a basic thing. But yet, because they have children, and that's where the law comes in. So the British media, obviously, they're pissed off about, and they're not pleased at all with the publication ban. A man who took part in celebrity threesome says cheating is using children as protection, reads the headline in the Daily Mail. The newspaper also declared draconian privacy injunction means he cannot be named in the British media. The Mail argued that Elton and his husband have posted dozens of pictures of their children on social media and have given a number of magazines and television interviews about them, about the joy of parenting. So it's out there anyway. So it's all thing. It's all about protecting the children. So, you know, it's one of these backdoor. Oh, wow. I didn't intend to do that, but that's a good pun. Backdoor issues. It reminds me of the bathroom bill that's going on here and the bathroom laws and all of that silliness. It just makes it more salacious, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, now that it's banned and people are getting teased by it, it makes it all the more desirable to kind of seek out and try to figure out what's going on for yourself.
Draconian is the word. It really is. That's my favorite description of all of this. All right, let's move on. Since we're talking about kinky things, let's continue to talk about kinky things since it's a Friday night. How about... Who would not want to be dominated by a female wrestler? Or if you're gay, by another man, you know, picking you up and throwing you across the room? I mean, wouldn't that be fun for you?
No.
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 No. That one. I don't want to be hurt.
Shame. Shame.
Is that Game of Thrones?
Shame.
All right, that's enough.
I can't even take a paper cut.
So kinky wrestling fans are splashing the cash on beautiful women who are being paid to dominate them. Now, this and what's great about this story originated from the UK, and then we piled on over here. Yeah, 150 pounds with a session. You can choose from a wide range of services, and now here in the United States. Of course they have it here. They have it in San Francisco for sure, including bondage, being beat down, fantasy wrestling, and competitive style fighting. I mean, just down at kink.com.
Kink.com, yeah.
Right, with our friends over there. So, you know, you can book catfight sessions where they have the opportunity to relax and enjoy two female wrestlers going at it at once.
So that's just you would watch.
Right, could have that. More meek men might offer the semi-competitive class, which carefully balances being sexy and aggressive. Hardcore guests may want to try out the bondage wrestling. where they will be placed completely in the control of the model.
All right.
That's got to be interesting. For kinky visitors, the fantasy wrestling style allows clients to try out their most bizarre fantasies. And the one site, the website that we're referencing here, the wrestler may dress up and perform the character of your choice. For example, sexy nurse, Wonder Woman, policewoman, etc.
Nice.
And the fact that there is a slight element of domination, well, they find that this is a stress relief for most of its clients, where they can escape their everyday responsibilities and have a big weight lifted off of their shoulders as she stands on you.
Or you could just go watch a movie. But you know what? If you're into that and that's
bucks.
Your thing, right. Knock yourself out.
Right.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Who are we to judge?
Not me.
It's not shameful.
Not me. Last time we were talking about BangFit. Right here, Pornhub launches BangFit so you can, you know, bang to get fit. Sexercise. And that's a thing. It's so weird, though, because you got to put this belt on and put your iPhone in the middle of it. And
yeah, and there are so many questions that go along with that. Like, what if your dad calls or your mom when you're in the middle of the action? It accidentally hits FaceTime.
It's an app. Yes, FaceTime.
Like game over.
Then that would definitely come into play. Where's the mean nun?
Shame.
Thank you.
Shame.
On you. FaceTime, please. That would be the end of the world. I would never be able to call him again. Ever wondered how much time you spend during your life in the bedroom? Now, we're not talking about sleeping. Yes, a new study by Reebok. Yes, the sportswear brand, random we knew. Yeah, that we know. We used to know, anyway. Reveals just how much time we spend getting it on, and it's pretty depressing, as it really is not that much. We're so consumed. This is what I love about American society. We love talking about it. We're not necessarily doing it.
Well, there's a lot of time in the day.
Yes, we're so self-absorbed and self-involved in talking about it, we don't take a lot of time to do it.
Shame.
Thank you. Considering how much of a big role sex plays in our lives, it's pretty surprising at these numbers. Depressingly, near 30% of your life will be spent sitting on your bottom, which is about 21 years out of your life. Yes, just sitting on the chair.
That's kind of depressing.
That is kind of depressing. We won't even get into traffic. So where are the numbers here? I'm looking for the numbers.
Makes me want to stand up right now.
Social anxiety is apparently the equivalent of, I'm trying to find, oh, okay. So here's what we do when it comes to sex. About 0.50 of our lives, you're having sex. Around, in your entire life, that's around 117 days.
All right.
That's all you get.
Well, that's of sex.
117 days out of the average, what is the average American male lived to 76, 77, the average American woman, 82, 83.
Well, I guess if you look at it that way, it's less than a year.
It's not
less
even,
than six
it's like
months.
It's a quarter.
Yeah, it's almost, it's just
30,
over
60,
a quarter.
60, 90, right.
All right.
Okay. All right. So now you know. Me, none.
Shame.
Shame on you.
Wait, would those wrestling sessions count?
Yes, they would count. They count. For sure. All right, no shame in that. All right, let's take a break and we'll be back with more of the Late Night Show. We're going to begin the Late Night Late Show wrap-up. And Kasim Bentley, the comedian, will be joining us shortly on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. With a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham. And away we go on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10, live and local in the Bay. And as the sun sets on the West Coast all over the Western United States, we broadcast. Yeah, yes, we do. Thank you for joining me. Stephen Colbert. You know Joe Biden probably has some regrets about not getting into the presidential race. Listen to this.
We have very important breaking vice presidential news from Ohio. Jim?
My name is Joe Biden. I love ice cream.
My name is Stephen Colbert, and I love Joe Biden. And I got to think at this point, he's just kind of phoning in his job for the last 6 months. And if you think that Joe Biden is kidding, he's not.
You all think I'm kidding, I'm not.
Amazing. From the heart.
And the clip is great, too, because he's in front of a lot of, you know, a bunch of a whole schoolroom of elementary children. That was fun. Speaking of jobs, Jimmy Kimmel did this bit last night, and he had this fake campaign. Well, he's doing his fake campaign for vice president, and he's looking into things that he can fix here in America. So last night he asked nurses to talk about what they hate most about their jobs.
One thing I hate about nursing, scrubs. They're not winter month friendly.
So what I hate about being a nurse is feeding a patient dinner and then seeing exactly what they ate a couple hours later in a different form.
What I hate is when my patient's family comes in and changes their TV station.
They don't take their diet seriously. They don't take their medications. They come in and wonder why they're still having a problem.
Patients think the emergency room is a narcotic dispensary.
Explosive diarrhea.
A poonam.
Digital fecal dispassion.
Volcanoes. Two words. Code Brown.
Wow. Code Brown seems to be the overwhelming problem with the nursing situation. We need to think about that before you get into the profession.
Yeah, I would think so.
Right. Think twice.
Yeah, know about that, Code Brown.
Right. Code Brown. Hey, Code Brown happens. What can I say? It just does. Okay, a new survey asked people to name the best and worst jobs in 2016, and the winner is blogger. Yes, that would be, yes, I would agree with that, because you can do that anywhere, just like a podcast. You can do it anywhere. Blogging. But can you make any money at blogging?
I don't know. I think
I don't know.
That's the big question. I know the Huffington Post doesn't really pay for its content.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. Let me just go off on this for a second.
Sure.
I'm going left, people. Hang on. Hang on. Strap yourselves in. I'm going left.
Shame.
Oh, stop it.
Shame.
That mean none. Okay. So do you use the Apple news feed?
Because yeah, on occasion.
It's an aggregator, and you have it on your iPhone, okay, and you have it on your iPad if you're an Apple person like I am. So you put everything in there. Obviously, I'm in the media, so I aggregate tons of stories. Now, it was fantastic when I first started using it. I don't know what's going on, Apple people, but listen closely, Cupertino. Help me with this, because I loved it. But now the clickbait is just ridiculous. where I click on something. Well, you know what? I know better. I know what the clickbait is, and I refuse to play your games, HuffPo.
Is it almost like you're getting spammed?
BuzzFeed. Okay. It's driving me crazy because I'm not getting the right stories. And if you ever seen these things go on, who is the dude? Oh, I know. The guy, the Gawker dude who got sued by Hulk Hogan and lost. Right. So I saw how this works. He was sitting in his office. I think it was in London. And you've got a room full of cubicles, just like we do in the KGO newsroom. And there are large TVs that are monitors, and it shows the amount of hits that everybody's getting. And you, as a person, are supposed to get the most number. I don't know. You have to hit a significant number every day with at least 8 stories to get to the top of the heap of the aggregates. Okay,
yeah,
and these algorithms. Man, that's a lot of pressure. I don't know if I dig that or not. But I'm just disappointed that the meat and potatoes are not in the aggregate in the Apple.
Yeah.
Apple,
well, you know what you should
like
do
it
is
used to be.
Start sending Apple a bill for the extra time it takes you to prep, and they'll wisen up real fast.
I'm still upset every time I hit my own playlist, thank you, with my iTunes, and I hit the wrong button, and I've canceled my subscription 100 times. I don't want Apple Music. Love you very much, Apple, but I don't want the music. Anytime you touch it, you subscribe again.
Shame.
All right. The rest of the top 5 jobs are doctor, CEO. Well, who doesn't want to be a CEO? Just
yeah.
You're right. Thank you for that. Teacher and data scientist, which I have a conflict with that. I have another survey from USA Today and US News and World Report where half of teachers would quit as soon as possible if they found a job that paid better.
Well, is that a teaching job or just any
job? No. A new survey found 49% of teachers would quit ASAP if they could find a job that pays better. And 60% of teachers don't have as much enthusiasm as they did when they started. Bad news for Americans, their education.
Well, I can see that in a lot of businesses, though. You kind of get in there and the wind gets taken with idealism. And
no, I can tell you what it is. 62% of the teachers say they spend way too much time getting students prepped for state tests, and they hate that.
Yeah, I bet.
Man, oh, man. Texas, when I worked in Texas, boy, did the teachers ever hate that. Because there was a state test that they had to pass. Thank you, George.
And if a certain number of their students don't pass, they're in trouble.
50% of the stress and disappointment of the job, they said really isn't worth it. Okay. But anyway, teachers up there, and so is top 5 gigs, doctor, CEO, teacher, and data scientist. People say the main factors and that make something a great job are, of course, lots of money, a great work environment, and good growth potential. The 5 worst jobs are telemarketer,
ugh,
doctor. Yeah, have you seen? Now, of course, I've had a lot of surgery last year, but I know now the doctors aren't happy. Because they've become very corporate, very structured.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to see 29 patients in a day, something insane like that.
That's incredibly stressful.
Yeah, it's a machine. So being a doctor is not fun anymore.
Well, oh, and if you watch Grey's Anatomy, they die at such a high percentage. It's like every week they're killing off another doctor in that hospital.
Unfortunately, if you're a real doctor and they die, that's a negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The 5 worst jobs are telemarketer, doctor. Look, teacher at the bottom, too. See, it is playing into my other survey.
How can teacher be good and bad? I want an explanation.
It depends. I guess it depends whether you feel like you spend too much time preparing for state tests or you're disappointed. I don't know. You don't have the enthusiasm.
There must be some good teacher jobs.
All right. Other worst jobs, garbage collector, assembly line worker. So, yeah, doctor and teacher made both of the lists.
Look at that.
The main factors that make something bad are the tough deadlines, low pay, and bad growth potential, and corporate entities moving in. By the way, I disagree with garbage collector because I heard a story about garbage collectors where their union, they're making 6 figures.
No kidding.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Who thought?
I got into the wrong business.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that there are garbage collectors here in the city probably making 100 grand.
Yeah, but then you got to go out and collect smelly garbage all day. I don't know if I'd want to do that.
What are you talking about? It's an easy gig.
You know who could shed some light on this for us is Maureen Lang, and her father was a garbage.
Look, the machine now picks it up with the fork, and throws it into the bin.
Yeah.
You don't even have to touch it.
Yeah, but it still kind of stinks.
For 100 grand, 150 grand? I don't know.
You probably become disgusted.
All right, I got to take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Late Night Late Show wrap up. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGO Radio, and you're listening in San Jose.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.